to the book of Philippians. This verse-by-verse study is a counterpoint to our study of Corinthians, which, if you recall, 1 Corinthians was sort of a corrective letter. Paul had planted this church, and they had sort of gone off the rails a bit, and the 1 Corinthians letter was really about, it was a disciplinary letter in love. And so he got them. If we'll get to 2 Corinthians one of these days, you'll see that it actually worked out. The reason we went to Philippians was, this is Paul writing to a church that he also loved, a church that was pretty much doing it right. Philippians was a church that gave Paul great love. Not that they didn't have problems, but in the main, they were a good witness to the new budding Christian movement, and he took great joy in what was going on there. And like any good parent that loves a child, he still has corrective information. And so as we go, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, we'll kick off that chapter. Our title for the sermon today is Christ's Example of Humility. Humility. Humility is not something that comes naturally to human beings. We were listening to J. Vernon McGee, if you know who he is, on the radio coming up here. And his position was that the very first sin ever committed was that of Lucifer, who said that I will raise my throne up higher than God's throne. And so that was sort of a lack of humility, in his view, was the very first sin. And if you think about it, the fall that happened in the Garden of Eden with Eve, Lucifer sold them on this idea that if you violate God's word and you eat of the fruit, even though he told you not to, you can be just like God. So their decision was, well, if I can be just like God, I'm going to go for that. Well, that's what sort of brings us here today. So humility. Much of the conflict in our church comes when people put themselves ahead of others. Worship music should be what I like. Programs should benefit me. I'm not being fed, one of my personal favorites. It's very tempting to make church all about me. Me, me, me. Our culture reinforces the idea that we deserve to have it our way. Have it your way. When Jesus called people to discipleship, he made it clear, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Any gospel teaching that kind of presents the idea that, hey, come and become a Christian and your whole life is going to get better because God wants you to have a new Cadillac and a big house and perfect health, flat out denies Scripture. No, it doesn't say that your life is going to be miserable and terrible and all that sort of thing, but there's nothing in Scripture, in Jesus' teaching specifically, that ever promotes this idea that I'm here to make your life wonderful. Now, can you find a verse in the Bible that seems to say that? Sure, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And someone might say, well, see there? But if you're going to study the Word of God, you need to study the whole Word of God. Because the whole Word of God makes it very clear that it's not about us. When Jesus called people to discipleship, he made it clear, deny yourself and take up your cross. We don't practice much self-denial. Jesus taught us the importance of humility and service all throughout his ministry. His temptation in the desert, denying himself, performing miracles of healing and forgiveness, washing the disciples' feet at the Last Supper. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We in our class the other night, in our Transforming Habits class, we were talking about worship. And over and over again, and you've probably heard me and you're tired of hearing this, but worship is what you bring in those doors on Sunday morning. So if you come here and you evaluate the music and you evaluate the sermon and you evaluate the air conditioning, or in our case, the lack thereof, and you evaluate whether the pew, you evaluate, well, I don't like the carpet. When you're evaluating what you get when you come here, you've completely missed the point. Worship is what you bring here. Now, you see how that goes to humility? If you come here to receive, that's putting yourself as the primary thing. Now we want you to receive in the sense that when you leave this place, we want you to feel fulfilled. We want you to feel uplifted. We want you to feel recharged to go out into the world when you leave here. We want you to receive, but we don't want you to come here for that reason. Bring your worship here. Bring your offer and lay it at the foot of the throne. And God will bless you in ways that you have no idea, because your expectations have to be in the right place. If you're in your Bibles in Philippians chapter 2, let's turn to the beginning there, and let us begin by praying. Heavenly Father, you give us your word for a very specific reason. You give us your word so that we might understand the mind of Christ as much as we can this side of heaven. So, Father, as we read these passages, we ask that you would open our hearts and open our minds and speak into that heart that which you would have us receive. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin. Philippians 1 through 4, it says this: So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Now listen, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. There's a whole lot in there. And he's saying if you have any encouragement, any comfort, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, put other people first. A quick search of the Bible tells us that there's at least 58 verses that mention humble or humility. And yet self-promotion is sort of an epidemic in our culture, is it not? Social media and the internet make it easier than ever. Humility is not thinking less about ourselves. It's thinking about ourselves less. Let me say that again. Listen. Humility is not thinking less about ourselves. It's about thinking about ourselves less. You are God's creation. You are God's workmanship. You are so valuable to God that he actually gave up his own son that he loves so much on your behalf, in spite of who you were, in spite of who I am. So God thinks very highly of you. So it's not about thinking of yourself as lowly or any of that stuff. It's just not thinking about you as much as we sometimes tend to do. Humility is believing God will promote you. If I'm in a bad place now, I got to trust God that I'll be in a better place later. Insecure people believe God is idly standing by and not helping their cause. When I'm going through tough times, it must be because God's forgotten me. God can't forget you. He's incapable of forgetting you. He actually already knows what it's going to look like at the other end of the valley. Y'all know that verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death. See, God already knows what's on the other end of that valley of death. He already knows about the beautiful plain that's already on the other side. He's way up here watching you go through the valley, and he can already see the pasture and the still waters. You have to trust him that he knows what's going on. And when you do that, it's easy. It becomes easier to let go of yourself. I'm not going to worry so much about me. I'm going to worry more about other people. Because if God has me in hand, I want to make sure he has other people in hand as well. Humility is pushing others to the front of the line. Many of us are trying to manipulate God to get more from him instead of just trusting him with our worship. There are people in the world today that are preaching a gospel that is not, I'm going to be kind here, that it's not a true gospel. That they're preaching that if you're doing well and you're healthy, wealthy, and wise, and you have everything, that was God's plan. If you're not doing very well, if you're poor, if you're sick, then you don't have enough God in you. This is a lie. It's the lie of Satan. We are to trust God, whatever our circumstances. We are to be humble. God has a plan. We were just talking about this morning. There's an old tract that was out there. It says, God loves you and has a great plan for his life. We were just chatting about this earlier. My belief is so strongly based on Scripture is that God has a plan. It's a big, magnificent plan from the beginning to the end. And you have a part in that plan. But you aren't the plan. When we think of ourselves as the plan, then we start doing things like not being of the same mind, not being in full accord. Start thinking about ourselves. Well, wait a minute, I wanted to be the chairman of that committee. Well, I don't think that was the right color to pick for the new carpet. Why didn't they ask me to be on the committee? See what's going on there? Why me? Well, I believe on the authority of God's word that if you weren't picked for whatever it was, you're not supposed to be whatever it was. So Paul says to look to the interests of others, considering others better than yourselves. In Paul's culture, being humble, humility was considered weak and lowly. But Paul says humility was not to manipulate others and get extra mileage, but to have it as a hallmark, that's who you are. True humility